hand and casually using the force to short out the security cams. Since he is apparently an admiral, he's bound to be on the bridge.
What about Dooku? Asked Ventress.
Anakin's face hardened.
I'll take care of him. Looks like we might get two for one today. Dooku's death and Voss's return.
May the Force be with us,
Kenobi murmured, and they began the hunt.
Chapter 28.
Ventress wished they could simply charge through the ship, destroying anything and anyone that got in their way. But while she was passionate, she was also practical. Stealth had gotten them into the ship. Stealth would have to get them to the bridge. Only once before had she worked in a similar manner with so many fellow Force users, when she, Karras, and Nalith had attempted to kill Dooku. She had to admit that both Skywalker and Kenobi were stronger in the Force than her sisters had been. Together they were extremely powerful. It was a pity that the three of them and Voss could not team up against Dooku. The Sleemo wouldn't stand a chance.
Voss.
Ventress felt again the stab of doubt. It had been impossible to entirely escape the images of his face on the holonet, and she'd seen the telltale yellow of his eyes in Dooku's prison. But there had been that moment when she had fully owned her lies and laid herself open to his judgment, when Voss had hesitated, and Ventress had seen the true Voss still inside. He had understood how hard it had been for her, if only fleetingly. Was it really possible that she could reach him again? Or had Dooku so dominated him that there was nothing left of the man she... Well, if he was lost, she would do what was necessary without a second thought. It would be what the real Voss, the Jedi, would want her to do. Ventress recalled the difficulty with which Voss had finally reconciled himself to killing a simple, non-sentient creature. That man would be horrified to be used by Dooku to kill thousands of innocent beings. With what felt like agonizing slowness, they made their way through the ship, hiding from wandering patrols of droids and shorting out any security cams before they could be detected. They paused at the end of the hallway.
There's a corridor directly below us, Ventress said. We go down that, and the set of doors at the end opens onto the bridge.
You're sure? Asked Kenobi.
I've spent a great deal of time on this ship,
Ventress said.
The bridge is three levels. The captain's chair is on the first level, facing forward. There will be 8 computer stations, each operated by a droid. Possibly there will be other droids on the bridge.
So 10, maybe 12? Anakin said.
No problem.
Where will Voss be?
In the captain's chair,
Ventress said grimly.
We can take either the ladder,
she pointed to a narrow set of rungs to one side,
or the lift. The ladder's safer. We'll be able to spot any droids in the corridor before we come across them. If we take the lift, we can't control what it would open up on.
Agreed, said Kenobi. I'll go first. Anakin, you bring up the rear.
Ventress stifled her irritation. Even now they didn't trust her. Kenobi climbed quickly and quietly down the ladder, pausing to listen and extend his senses with the Force before dropping down. Ventress and Anakin followed. Ventress pointed to the far end of the corridor.
Those are the doors to the bridge. They're motion sensitive, so they'll open automatically.
There was a soft ding behind them, and the lift doors opened. They whirled. A single, very puzzled-looking battle droid peered at them, then summoned the presence of mind to yelp into its comlink.
Intruder alert!
Not so fast. Obi-Wan punched the droid in the face, and it staggered back. Kenobi closed the door on it, ignited his lightsaber, and melted the controls.
Let's go.
The three of them raced down the hall and flung themselves through the door onto the bridge. The captain had risen. His lightsaber was in hand, but not yet activated. His brows were drawn together in a thunderous scowl as he shouted, his voice dripping loathing.
Jedi!
Dooku? Exclaimed Kenobi, surprised.
You weren't the fellow we were looking for. But since you're here...
Skywalker, however, wasted no time in banter. He leapt at once for Dooku. Blue and red lightsabers clashed and sizzled. The droids had begun firing, and Kenobi batted the bolts back with practiced ease, doing his best to angle the shots so they returned to the droid that fired them. Ventress paid neither Dooku nor the battle droids any heed. She vaulted down to the third lowest level. Still crouching, she thrust out both hands, force-grabbed a droid in each one, flung them behind her. Both droids hurtled toward the lightsaber combatants. Dooku glanced up and sprang down to the second level. Anakin followed him. Two droids approached Kenobi, firing at him simultaneously. The Jedi Master leapt upward, clinging briefly to the ceiling as the droids realized, too late, that they were now firing at each other.
"He's not here!"
Ventress shouted over her shoulder to Obi-Wan. She sliced the head off of one battle droid, forced through another against the bulkhead. Six remained.
"Get back up here and cover me!"
Kenobi shouted, fighting his way over to one of the consoles on the first level. Ventress leapt across the bridge and positioned herself between Kenobi, who was checking the ship's computer in an attempt to locate Voss, and the droids who were firing on him. She spared a glance for Dooku, one level down. The fight between him and Anakin was close and constantly shifting. Ventress felt a brief flash of amusement as she realized that for the first time, she was actually rooting for Skywalker. Dooku made claws of his hands, and force lightning crackled in the space between him and Anakin. Skywalker got his lightsaber up and held his own, slitting his eyes against the blue glare and flying sparks. Still sending force lightning with one hand, Dooku reached out with the other. A dismembered droid torso shot up in the air, hovered there, and then Dooku flung it at Anakin. The Jedi leapt down to the third level, and the Count followed him. With their master otherwise occupied on the other side of the bridge, the remaining droids opened fire freely. Dozens of bolts streaked toward Ventress and Kenobi. Calmly, Ventress batted back some with her lightsaber. The others she simply redirected using the Force. Three more droids fell, twitching and sparking.
"I've got him!"
Kenobi shouted to be heard over the noise of combat.
"Ventress, he's not on the bridge because he's in the brig!"
"He's still a captive."
"Do you realize what this means? There is no Admiral Enigma. Dooku's been using Voss as a tool to lower Jedi morale."
Ventress was flooded by joy so intense that she almost couldn't breathe. Renewed energy filled her, and she reached out, grabbed a protesting droid in the Force, then smashed him down.
"You two go on!"
called Anakin. He dodged a strike from Dooku's red lightsaber that whizzed past the top of his head and brought his own blade up for a counterstrike.
"I'll take care of him!"
"Insolent puppy,"
snapped Dooku, parrying Skywalker's strike. Together, Ventress and Kenobi cut down the remaining droids. Debris toppled everywhere, legs and arms, heads and parts of torsos. When they reached the door and raced through it, Ventress took a moment to pierce the controls with her lightsaber.
"Anakin's still in there!"
"So is Dooku,"
she retorted.
"And this way, he can't summon droids to improve his odds."
"Excellent point. The brig is...
on the level below us. Come on!"
Voss hung, naked to the waist, from glowing shackles. His back was toward Kenobi, and Obi-Wan felt a pang of empathetic pain at the sight. Dooku, it seemed, had decided to forego more elaborate methods of torture in favor of the basic ones. Voss's broad back was a ribbon of older scars and newer welts. Some were scabbed over, and not a few were still bleeding. His once muscular but sleek frame was emaciated and pale, as if he had not seen the sunlight in months. He appeared to be unconscious.
"Voss!"
Kenobi rushed forward. He cradled Voss's brutalized body in one arm while he slashed with his lightsaber at the shackles. Voss cried out sharply as his arms shifted from the position they had been forced to maintain for who knew how long. Obi-Wan eased him to the floor.
"Obi-Wan, is it really you?"
Voss's voice was ragged.
Yes, it's me, old friend.
Is Ventress?
Voss looked around, and his face lit up.
Asajj!
Wincing at the pain the motion cost him, he reached out to her. But strangely, she hung back, reminding Obi-Wan of a wild animal about to bolt. Voss appeared not to notice.
I dreamed of you. I'm so glad you're here. So glad...
Can you walk? Kenobi asked.
Yes, I think so.
With Kenobi's help, Voss awkwardly got to his feet. His gaze was fixed on Ventress, and his smile faded at the look on her face.
Asajj?
Voss moved toward her. She took a step back, narrowing her eyes.
I'm so sorry I attacked you. I had to.
She scoffed.
Forgive me if I find that hard to believe.
You know Dooku.
Even speaking seemed to tire Voss.
He records everything. There were devices in my cell. I had to let him think he'd turned me. But I couldn't keep up the act.
Again, Voss reached out for her.
He suspected I hadn't turned, and put me back here. He comes and tells me all the things that I've done as his admiral.
Ventress, I...
Stop it!
She shouted.
Kenobi, we're too late.
What? Kenobi was shocked.
I saw his eyes then, and I can feel the fury inside him now. He's just itching to break our necks.
Ventress activated her lightsaber and brought it in front of her, holding it with both hands and poised to attack. The green light illuminated the glitter of unshed tears in her eyes.
Now hang on a moment, Ventress,
Kenobi said soothingly, trying to calm her through the Force.
Asajj, how can you say that? It's still me.
Voss put a hand on his chest, which was also bleeding from recent lacerations.
It's still your Quinlan. I've not changed, I swear. I'm the same.
The same as you were when you tried to cut my head off with your master's lightsaber.
Wait, what? Kenobi looked at Voss searchingly. The other Jedi turned to him, pleading. Kenobi reached into the Force and tried to sense what Ventress claimed to feel. Voss was physically weakened, disoriented, and in pain both physically and emotionally, but any darkness Kenobi could pick up on was that of simple despair.
I don't sense anything sinister, Ventress, Kenobi said slowly. I think perhaps your emotions are clouding your judgment.
She looked at him as if he had suggested they sprout wings and fly.
My emotions allow me to see the truth! This is a trick! How can you not sense it? The hatred is seeping out of his pores!
Ventress looked back at Voss, shifting her weight on the balls of her feet.
My connection to the dark side was tenuous at best, and even I could barely pull away from its grasp.
She swallowed hard.
Voss has been consumed.
Shock rippled through the Force as Voss stared at her, stunned.
Ventress!
Shut up!
She screamed.
I can't listen to your lies any longer! I...
Again, the tears glittered in her eyes. When she spoke, it was in a broken whisper.
I am so sorry. This is the only way you can be free.
And she brought the lightsaber sweeping down.
Chapter 29.
Obi-Wan sprang in front of Ventress, his lightsaber hissing and crackling against hers. He pushed her back, shouting her name, but she was beyond reason. She leapt over him, landing in front of Voss. The Jedi fell to his knees, throwing up his hands to force shove her backward. He was so weak that even this attack to save his own life merely pushed Ventress back a few steps. That was enough for Kenobi to land a flying kick to Ventress's hip, and she stumbled, turning the fall into a flip and landing facing Kenobi.
Why can't you feel it?
She cried, and her sincerity and pain were so real that Kenobi felt a rush of pity.
Ventress, think for a moment,
This place is steeped in dark side energy, and Voss is in terrible pain.
Ventress didn't pause. She was a righteous angel, intent on destroying the thing she believed Voss to have become.
And for a fleeing instant, Kenobi wondered if he ever appeared that way to those he was forced to slay.
Then all thought needed to be focused on preventing Ventress from murdering the very man they had come to rescue.
Get out of the way!
Kenobi shouted to Voss. Voss obliged, supporting himself by leaning on the wall as he put distance between the two combatants.
You don't understand, Ventress cried. You weren't there!
She whirled, targeting Kenobi now instead of Voss. Her green lightsaber was a blur, and Kenobi was hard-pressed to parry.
You know,
he said, slipping his blade alongside hers, then twisting it to throw her off balance.
I rather think fighting you was easier when I was trying to kill you.
Voss leaned against the wall, panting, his torso slick with blood and sweat. From his position, he could see down the next corridor.
We've got company!
He shouted, and sure enough, Kenobi could hear the clatter of metallic feet. Ventress abruptly dodged Kenobi's blow and returned her focus to Voss. By this point, Obi-Wan was not just alarmed by Ventress's single-minded and inexplicable distrust of Voss, but growing profoundly exasperated.
Ventress, by all that is good in this galaxy, can we please settle this later?
He reached out in the Force, lifted her up, and plunked her a few meters farther down the corridor the way they had come.
Go!
He shouted. In their many previous encounters, Kenobi had taunted Ventress by reminding her how good she was at running away. But this time, for one terrible moment, Kenobi was afraid Ventress was willing to sacrifice them all if it would ensure Voss's destruction. Fortunately, her survival instinct kicked in, and with a frustrated growl, she sprinted off. The droids were closing on them. Blasts ricocheted off the curving metal walls and illuminated the hallway with red light. Kenobi pulled the weaponless Voss in front of him, supporting the weakened man with one hand, while partially turning around to bat back the blaster fire. Abruptly, Ventress skidded to a halt. Voss and Kenobi almost ran into her. A fraction of an instant later, a circular chunk of the corridor ceiling crashed straight down in front of them. Standing in the center of the metallic circle was Anakin Skywalker. His lightsaber was still lit, and the circle's molten rim was orange.
Hi, Voss, Anakin said. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too, Anakin,
Voss said, peering up, baffled, through the hole Anakin had just cut in the ceiling. Blaster fire pelted down, and the four of them leapt forward, heading toward the hangar and escape. Droids dropped through the hole, some of them landing atop their fellows that had pursued the group from Voss's cell. Squeaks of,
"Hey, watch it!"
and,
"Ow!"
ensued from the hapless droids. But soon enough, the clankers were again in pursuit, and firing. The Jedi and Ventress made it to the hangar and raced up the ramp to the Banshee. Voss all but fell into one of the seats in the hold, fumbling at the straps. Kenobi stilled his hands and began to secure his friend while Ventress began to fire up the ship.
Come on,
she muttered under her breath, then cursed.
They've changed the code for the shield. I'll have to try to figure it out again.
And now they're closing the doors,
Anakin said. Kenobi looked up from Voss to see that Anakin was right.
Can you get us free?
Kenobi asked.
Ventress's fingers flew over the controls. Maybe, she said. But that door is closing fast, and the droids will be here any minute.
Voss looked up.
I know where both sets of controls are.
Before Kenobi could stop him, the injured Jedi had risen and was opening the ramp.
No!
Shouted Ventress. She sprang from the pilot's chair and jumped down into the hold, trying to tackle him. Kenobi grabbed her arm. Startled, she wrenched it free, but Voss had already jumped to the ground and raced out of sight.
You let him get away!
Ventress snarled.
Don't you see? He's not coming back.
She drew back her fist, but Anakin's hand shot out to grab it.
Settle down, Ventress,
Anakin snapped.
We don't know anything for sure.
I do.
Ventress stabbed at her chest with a forefinger so hard that Kenobi thought the gesture would leave a bruise.
I know he's fallen, and I know he can't be brought back.
Ventress...
Anakin pointed, and Ventress looked through the viewport. The hangar doors had stopped closing, and then a heartbeat later, they began to reopen.
Check the controls, Kenobi said. Is the shield deactivated?
Ventress was already back in her seat.
We're free, she said, confusion in her voice.
And here comes Voss, Kenobi said, unable to keep the triumph out of his voice as he waved his friend forward.
Ventress turned to look, emotions warring on her face. Blasterfire screamed, and it seemed impossible that Voss wouldn't be struck by it.
Go, go, go!
Voss shouted, leaping for the ramp.
He struck it clumsily, crying out with pain, clambering aboard as it retracted.
Ventress didn't give him a second glance. All of her attention was on getting them out of there. They were out of the hangar just as the ramp door closed, with the droid's blasters catching the stern of the ship.
Great job, Voss! Anakin enthused. It's good to have you back.
Voss had his eyes closed, gritting his teeth against the pain. Some of his wounds had reopened and were weeping blood.
Strap yourselves in,
Ventress called back to them.
We're not out of trouble yet.
Ventress's warning had come just in time. Dooku had launched fighters after them. Kenobi's spirit sank even farther when he realized that these were droid tri-fighters, so called because of their trio of arms, each fitted with a light laser cannon. The arms surrounded a gyroscopic ball in which its droid pilot was seated. The core was equipped with a large laser cannon. Devoid of sentient living beings, the tri-fighters were not only flown by an integrated droid brain, but dispatched Discord missiles bearing buzz droids, small droids that attached themselves to the target and set about disabling it. Everything hinged on Ventress's skills now.
How fast can you jump to hyperspace?
Anakin asked.
Not fast enough, Ventress said. Skywalker, I need you on the triple blaster. Kenobi, you're on one of the laser cannons.
What about me?
Voss asked her.
You stay put.
Ventress, this is foolish. I know this ship like the back of...
Kenobi's stomach dropped out as Ventress plunged, darting beneath one of the tri-fighters, then soared upward in a loop, coming perilously close to another one.
Ventress, what are you doing?
Shouted Anakin as he lurched into the cockpit.
Are you trying to get us all killed?
I'm trying to do the exact opposite,
Ventress grunted. The ship veered hard to port, then lurched up again. Kenobi understood her tactics. Ventress was flying like a madwoman because that was the one thing the droids could not counter. Irrationality. They expected their enemy to behave in a logical fashion. For instance, Ventress's present tactic of flying straight at them...
Damn it, Ventress, let me help!
Shouted Voss. It was obvious Ventress wanted Voss to touch nothing on the ship, but Kenobi had an idea.
Voss!
He called as he fired the laser cannon at one of the enemy vessels.
Keep an eye out for the buzz droids! If you see them coming, use the Force to send them back to their ships.
Whoa!
Exclaimed Anakin as the ship turned upside down and kept flying that way.
Here we go!
Shouted Ventress. And just as one of the droid ships directed a blossom of laser fire at them, Kenobi saw the welcome sight of the stars appearing to turn into streaks of light as they made the jump, at last, into hyperspace. Everybody leaned backward, indulging in relief.
Now then,
Kenobi said briskly, unfastening Voss's shoulder harness and locating a med pack.
Let's see about your injuries, Voss.
I'm fine,
Voss replied.
No, you're not,
Skywalker said.
And I bet Ventress doesn't want blood on her containment chair.
Voss tensed at the mention of her name. Kenobi shot his former apprentice a glare. Too late, Anakin realized his faux pas and mouthed,
Oops, sorry.
Voss's wounds were sterilized and bandaged in awkward silence. There were so very many of them, Kenobi thought.
He stepped forward when Anakin was done.
I brought an extra cloak, Kenobi told Voss. Here.
Voss accepted it, shaking his head as Obi-Wan tried to assist him. He paled slightly as the rough brown fabric touched his brutalized torso, but made no word of complaint. For a moment, Voss seemed lost in thought. Then he rose. He ascended the ladder to the cockpit slowly, lips tightly closed against any utterance of pain. Kenobi and Anakin exchanged uncomfortable glances. They were close enough to the cockpit so they'd hear everything the two said, which was, honestly, the last thing Kenobi wanted.
Ventress,
Voss said quietly.
I never meant...
His voice trailed off. Kenobi thought that would be the end of it, but Voss tried again.
I thought for sure you would understand what I was doing. You know how Dooku thinks. Did you believe that there would be a minute when I wasn't under surveillance? I never meant to hurt you. I was just playing a part. There is no we anymore.
Ventress's voice was pure acid. Kenobi sensed the underlying anguish that turned it so very bitter.
The Quinlan Voss I knew is dead.
Kenobi could feel how the words bit.
Please,
Voss began.
Stay out of my way, or I will kill you.
Even Anakin winced at that one. A moment later, Voss made his painful way down the ladder and slumped back in his seat. He looked as if all the pain of the entire galaxy had descended upon his lacerated shoulders. The three Jedi sat in awkward silence. Anakin and Kenobi couldn't pretend they hadn't overheard. Although Voss was clearly distressed by Ventress's cutting words, in the long run, a Jedi could not have attachments. Voss would one day, soon, Kenobi hoped, be grateful to Ventress for not prolonging what could not be. Even so, he found himself wanting to offer words of comfort. He was surprised when Anakin beat him to it.
She'll come around,
Anakin said kindly.
We know it's really you who's come back to us.
Yes, Kenobi said. She'll realize the truth soon enough.
Voss looked at them with anguished dark eyes and buried his face in his hands. It was a long trip home.
Chapter 30
Desh stood just outside the Jedi Council chamber. His muzzle was split with a huge grin, revealing sharp white teeth.
You're late, he said. As usual.
Ventress watched as Voss's eyes lit up, and he extended his hand to his friend. Desh moved as if to clap Voss's shoulder, then paused as he noticed the cloak and a glimpse of the bandaged flesh it hid. His ebullience faded, and he said,
I'll save the welcome home roughhousing for later.
I'd appreciate that, Voss said. He gave a tired smile.
How could none of them feel it? Ventress wondered.
Voss's eyes hadn't changed color, not once, but the dark side wrapped his soul as the cloak wrapped his body. Her heart broke every time she tried to second-guess herself and open to the Force. She hadn't lied to him. Voss, her Voss, was dead. Murdered by Dooku. And, Ventress had to acknowledge, by her. She'd thought she was strengthening Voss by lying to him about Tholme, but instead she had handed Dooku the perfect weapon. He also hadn't been ready for the sleeper. She'd pushed too hard, too fast. He had needed more time. Time to work with both the dark and the light, to understand the balancing point between the two, so that he could do what was needed and still stay himself. Perhaps it would have been better if they had died together, fighting the Count, never knowing what pain lay in store.
Ventress,
Skywalker said, in a tone of voice that indicated it wasn't the first time he'd spoken her name.
Ventress snapped out of her bleak reverie and followed them into the council chamber. The wary looks cast in her direction did not escape her notice, nor did the fact that every Jedi present, with the exception of Voss and Yoda, had a hand on his or her lightsaber.
"Master Krillin Voss,"
Yoda said, his voice warm with affection.
"Happy you are back, we are."
"Thank you, Master Yoda. It's good to be back."
"A difficult time you have had. Yet strong you have stayed."
"Most would have broken under Dooku's tutoring," Mace Windu said. "Master Kenobi and Jedi Skywalker have assured us that is not the case."
Ventress bit her lip hard. She tried to warn them. If she protested now, they wouldn't believe her. She could only hope that Voss would give himself away at some point. It was not her job to save the Jedi from their own blindness.
"Asajj Ventress,"
Yoda said. She looked up, meeting his eyes evenly.
"Return something that was lost, you have. Grateful we are."
"To show our appreciation for your aid in the rescue of Master Quinlan Voss," Windu said stiffly. "The Council honors its promise to grant you an official pardon for all of your past misdeeds. From this moment forward, consider yourself an unmarked woman."
Ventress felt Voss's gaze on her. She refused to look at him. She shrugged, uncomfortable for about 1,000 reasons with the words Windu spoke.
"Thank you for your generosity," she managed.
Her voice sounded strangled to her own ears, and by their expressions to theirs as well. She didn't care. She just wanted to be out of this room. Away from the monster that wore a lover's face.
"May the Force be with you,"
Yoda said. Ventress bowed perfunctorily, turned on her heel, and headed out. Away from the council chamber, away from the Jedi, and away from Voss. As she passed Desh, he asked,
"Hey, are you all right?"
Ventress paused.
"No," she said. "And neither is he."
Desh looked at her confused. Ventress continued down the hall, struggling not to break into a run. She was no longer a criminal. She had no need to flee. She heard footsteps behind her and grimaced. She probably shouldn't have said anything to the Moran.
"Desh, I..."
Ventress said, turning, and the words died in her throat. It was Voss.
"Please,"
he said,
"let me talk to you."
Ventress turned away quickly, continuing to stride down the hallway.
"Not interested, clearly. Just for a moment."
He hurried ahead of her, blocking her path. Pain at the movement rolled off him, but not the choking darkness she had sensed before. Ventress came to a stop, and her eyes searched his. There was no hint of ugly yellow or blood red in them, only the warm brown depths in which she had once lost herself. Against her better judgment, she nodded. He jerked his head in the direction of an alcove, and Ventress followed. Voss stared at her, apparently unable to find words now that she had agreed to listen to him.
"Well?"
she snapped.
"I'm so sorry."
Ventress rolled her eyes.
"Not this again,"
she made to shove past him.
"Hey,"
he said, and grabbed her arm. Cold fury shot through her, and she whirled.
"Take your hands off me."
Voss obeyed at once, holding both hands up in a placating gesture.
"Please, I'm begging you. Just hear me out."
Ventress did not try to pass him again, but neither did she look at him. Voss took a deep breath, and she sensed him still struggling for the right words. It was important to him, but she did not know whether it was because he was truly sorry or because he was still trying to trick her. The thought knifed her.
"I made the wrong decision. I should have just seized the chance to escape when you came for me. But I thought if I stayed, I could complete the mission. I never for a moment thought you'd really believe I'd turned. If I've lost you, it wasn't worth it. Nothing would be worth it."
I can only hope you can find your way to forgiving me, as I forgave you when you lied to me.
She had, hadn't she? Deliberately and selfishly. Ventress knew in her heart that she could tell herself all she liked that she'd done it for the mission, but that too would be a lie.
Asajj, everything we had was real. It still is. My feelings for you haven't changed.
Despite herself, Ventress's heart leapt. Now she did permit herself to look at him. It was true. She could feel it in the Force. Had she been mistaken? Then her gaze fell on the brown cloak Obi-Wan Kenobi had placed around Voss's shoulders. She had watched the Jedi Council welcome him back. He had said nothing to them about his feelings for her. So in the end, even if it were true, it meant nothing. Ventress reached out and fingered the coarse brown fabric.
But that is not the Jedi way, is it? You've chosen your path.
She could feel his eyes as she walked away. Tears filled her own. But she didn't look back. Anakin was able to leave the temple and sneak into Padme's apartment at something resembling a reasonable hour. Voss's arrival had thrown everyone into a state, and Anakin was glad of the reprieve. He marched into the living room, where Padme was preparing a light supper for herself, and swept his petite wife into his arms for a long, passionate kiss.
Anakin!
Her eyes sparkled with pleasure as he gently placed her down. He grinned. His name, when spoken by her lips, was the sweetest music in the galaxy.
Were you expecting someone else?
He teased. Padme punched his chest playfully.
I was expecting my husband, but not so early. I'm glad.
He poured them both a glass of wine, and they sat on the couch while Anakin filled her in on what had happened with Voss. He took creative license with the part about Voss being sent to assassinate Dooku. He was pretty sure a senator would not approve of such an action, and so modified assassinate to capture. Chancellor Palpatine had not been informed either. The mission was deemed to be Jedi business. Anakin wasn't sure that was the right call. It felt wrong to him for the Jedi Order to keep secrets from the Chancellor. But the decision, like so many others, was out of his hands. Padme had met Voss on occasion, but she was not as familiar with him as she was with some of the other Jedi, so the whole story was new to her. She listened raptly, her brown eyes wide. And when he had finished, she sighed sadly.
What do you think about all this?
It's a mess, Anakin said, shaking his head. I was against the idea of Ventress being involved at all, but nobody asked my opinion.
But you said neither you nor Obi-Wan sensed that he had gone dark. Why do you think Ventress did?
It's pretty clear she seduced him, Anakin said. She's kind of like that.
And how would you know?
Padme tried to look serious, but couldn't quite hide a smile. Anakin loved that expression of playfulness, so rarely on his serious wife's face. He brushed back a lock of her brown hair.
Rumor has it, he said, unable to resist adding. You should see how she flirts with Obi-Wan when they're swinging lightsabers at each other.
His humor faded.
If Voss did go to the dark side, I'm pretty sure it's her fault. She as much as admitted that she wanted him to be stronger, but he couldn't handle it. Voss should never have gotten involved with her.
You said Ventress seemed genuinely upset.
She was. First time I've seen a real emotion out of her that didn't involve removing someone's body parts. But it doesn't matter. A Jedi isn't supposed to...
Anakin's flow of words slowed as he realized how hypocritical he sounded. Padme was watching him with a slightly wry smile, but her eyes were kind.
We're different, he said. We're in love.
Padme ran a small hand along his cheek.
Yes, we are,
she said.
And maybe they are too.
Ventress isn't capable of anything as selfless as love.
Anakin scoffed.
And Voss couldn't possibly have cared about a murderess like her. Besides, she's the one who took him to the dark side in the first place.
Padme shrugged.
Stranger things have happened,
she said.
And maybe, if she loves him, she's his way back from it.
Anakin found he had no response to that.
Chapter 31.
Big day today for Quinlan,
Desh said, falling into step with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker.
Indeed, Kenobi said. But I'm not terribly concerned about it. Voss has performed well on the smaller assignments the Council has given him. I've no doubt they'll pronounce him fit to take on more important ones.
Desh nodded, but he looked somewhat troubled.
Something on your mind, Jedi Akkar?
Kenobi asked. The Moran hesitated, then said,
When she left, Ventress seemed to think that there was something wrong with Master Voss, and he's been avoiding me. I can tell.
Kenobi sighed.
It doesn't surprise me to learn that Voss might be avoiding people he'd been particularly close with, having realized the damage attachment can cause. I'm sure it's nothing you've done. As for Ventress, she and Voss were, entangled. I think she was disappointed that he chose the Jedi and not her. She kept insisting that Dooku had turned him, but no one, not I, not Anakin, nor anyone on the Council, has seen or sensed anything that leads us to believe she was correct. Ventress's emotions colored her perception. That's all.
Or else she's just flat-out lying,
Anakin put in.
I mean, come on. This is Asajj Ventress we're talking about.
I prefer to give her the benefit of the doubt, Kenobi said.
You always take the high road, Master Kenobi,
said Desh. He looked relieved.
Well, I will miss knocking back drinks with Voss and reminiscing about old times. But if the trade-off is that we have him back, alive and well, there's no question that it's a minor price to pay.
Anakin, you and Desh can wait outside if you wish. I think this is one council meeting that won't take particularly long.
Even as he had gently chided Desh for his affection toward Voss, Kenobi knew that he himself had not been impartial. It was difficult not to like Voss, even when one wished to strangle him. He reminded himself that he would have done the same for any Jedi.
Master Kenobi,
Yoda greeted him.
A happy duty to discharge, we do. Tell us of Master Voss, if you will.
With pleasure, Master Yoda. I sent you all the 2-1-B's reports on Voss's physical condition. He will have scars, but over the last month he has healed physically.
And otherwise?
Asked Plo Koon.
Dooku has broken others ere now. A former Jedi Master would understand our weaknesses better than any other enemy.
I cannot deny the truth of your statement, Kenobi admitted. Voss was wounded in spirit as well. It was for this reason that I have spent so much time in his company, and been the one to supervise his missions. But I doubt if any of us could say any differently had we been in Dooku's prison cell. I've seen nothing that makes me think that Quinlan Voss succumbed to the pull of the dark side, if indeed he ever really ventured there at all.
It's our understanding that Asajj Ventress felt that he did, Mace Windu said.
Kenobi hesitated. Voss had never spoken of Ventress to him, except when directly asked. He was loath to place doubt if no one else knew what he did, but Kenobi felt that total honesty was the only way to truly restore Voss's reputation. Kenobi told Windu what he had said to Desh a few moments before, that he suspected the Jedi Master and the former Sith had been involved, but that it was clear that Voss had chosen the Jedi over Ventress, and she had mistaken his rejection of her for a descent into the darkness. Most of the other Masters nodded as he spoke, but Windu frowned.
Asajj Ventress isn't a good person to develop feelings for.
Are we certain she didn't just turn him over to Dooku?
Voss says no, Kenobi replied.
During their joint attack on Dooku, they were forced to fight both him and Grievous, as well as dozens of droids. In the end, they were simply outnumbered. I will remind the Council that Ventress even attempted a rescue mission at a later point, but failed to recover Voss.
Because Voss didn't want to go with her, said Mace.
Master Voss has explained what happened several times, Kenobi replied. He's not hiding anything. He stumbled, yes, but he did not fall.
Made his choice now, he has. And a wise one, it is,
Yoda said.
Painful, though it was. Satisfied, I am, with what I am hearing.
The others echoed Yoda's words, all except for Windu.
I would prefer we give him another month, just to be certain.
With all due respect, Master Windu, Kenobi said, Voss has been in a unique position. For a time, he convinced Dooku that he was on the Count's side, that he could be trusted. He's learned so much and reported it all to us. Going forward, we can use that knowledge as we strategize.
I agree. But Voss doesn't have to be in the field.
But if he is there, he will be able to react immediately with any knowledge he has that we don't,
Shaak Ti said.
I feel he is ready to be sent on a more delicate mission.
Windu looked troubled, but he bowed his head. I yield to the will of the Council. Send for him.
A few moments later, Master Quinlan Voss appeared before the Jedi Council. Kenobi thought of how he had looked a few short weeks ago. Malnourished, pale, bleeding, and brokenhearted. His healthy color had returned, and he now moved without any hint of pain. Quinlan Voss looked every bit the Jedi Master he was. Perhaps, mused Kenobi, this ordeal had, in a perverse way, been exactly what Voss needed to temper his occasional excessive enthusiasm.
Performed well you have, Master Voss,
Yoda said.
Thank you, Master Yoda, Voss said, bowing. I want you all to know I understand why you have been so hesitant about putting me back in the field.
I'd have done the same thing to anyone who'd spent months in the tender, loving care of Count Dooku.
Satisfied we are,
Yoda said.
A task for you we have.
I am more than ready to serve you with all my ability,
Voss said. Mace Windu pressed a button on his chair. The hologram of an asteroid appeared in the center of the room.
We've gotten a tip on the location of a Separatist supply storage base.
Voss tried and failed not to look disappointed.
Of course, as the Council wishes.
This is no little matter, Master Voss,
Ki-Adi Mundi said.
The base is massive and concealed in the interior of this asteroid. Our intel says it contains medications, arms, ship repair materials, and foodstuffs. If we can take this base, we can get vital supplies to worlds that are in desperate need.
And deny them to the Separatists, Mace added. Did Dooku mention anything like this to you, Voss?
Voss thought for a minute.
He did say something about a supply base once, but I thought it was on a planet. Maybe Hoth?
We're pretty certain it's here, Windu said.
I'm sure there's more than one such base,
Voss conceded.
Master Kenobi, Master Voss, you two will lead this mission, Windu continued. Take two other Jedi with you, as many clones as you think necessary to transport the supplies. It looks like any defense you will encounter will be sparse. I think Dooku was relying on the obscurity of the location to keep it secret. But you should go in prepared for a fight, just in case this hidden base has some hidden fighters.
Understood, Kenobi said. With the Council's permission, I'd like to take Skywalker and Dakar Deshu with us.
Of course, Windu said.
He addressed both Kenobi and Voss, but Obi-Wan noticed his gaze lingered on the other Jedi.
Gentlemen, these supplies could potentially help us save thousands of lives. It's not a glamorous assignment, but it's a vital one. May the Force be with you.
I can see why Dooku thought no one would spot this as a base, Anakin said. It looks just like a big rock.
That's pretty much what an asteroid is, yes, Desh said.
He, Anakin, Kenobi, and Voss were all in their own ETA-2 Actus-class interceptors heading toward the asteroid. Certain materials in the asteroid's composition had rendered it impossible for sensors to detect whether anything or anyone was inside it, so a visual inspection was necessary.
All right, everyone ready for our first pass? Kenobi asked.
Let's do this, Voss exclaimed,
clearly happy to be, as he had said to Kenobi, sprung from his cage.
More than ready, Desh said.
At that moment, half a dozen droid starfighters emerged from the asteroid's interior.
Oh, hey, look at that, Anakin said. I think we found the right place.
We're outnumbered 2-1, Desh said. This'll be easy.
Even as he spoke, Anakin had swooped down on one of the starfighters, scoring a hit. The damaged ship spiraled out of control and then exploded. Kenobi jinked and jagged as two latched onto his tail.
I'm on it, Voss said, coming up behind the two.
Kenobi pulled up and back, executing a loop and firing while upside down. He struck his target squarely, and Voss took care of the second one.
Three down, three to go, said Anakin. Watch this.
Anakin!
Kenobi cautioned, then added under his breath,
Why do I even bother?
Anakin flew over two of the ships and fired on each one, then came around beneath the third. He fired on it as well. Like Anubis that had spotted a jackrab, the three fighters set off in hot pursuit. Kenobi, Voss, and Desh brought up the rear and picked off the last three.
That was not nearly enough fun, Anakin lamented.
Let's just be glad it was only six and not a dozen more, Voss said.
Master Voss, you disappoint me, Anakin chided. You're as dull as Master Kenobi.
Now, let's not exaggerate,
Kenobi said, permitting himself a small smile.
I think we're safe now.
Fall into single file formation, and we'll fly over it slowly and carefully.
Somewhat to his surprise, they obeyed. And then, in the shadows of a concavity, Kenobi saw the entrance. It was large enough to admit a medium-sized transport, and the single-person interceptors had no trouble negotiating it. The tunnel was long and curving, but it widened as the Jedi maneuvered around a bend and entered an enormous cavern. Abruptly, the chamber flooded with light. Kenobi realized that they had probably passed through an environmental field, and the grotto would therefore be able to suit humanoid life. The light illuminated crate after crate of various supplies and caught the gleaming curves of metallic ship parts. Anakin whistled.
Okay, Master Windu had good intel. You lost this round, Master Voss.
I'm delighted to be wrong, Voss replied. Look at all this.
We're going to have to requisition more transports, but I think that's a problem we're grateful to have, Kenobi said.
They brought their ships down onto a vast landing pad that would easily accommodate the three transports they had brought and had room for several more. The four Jedi hopped out of their vessels and paused for a moment to simply take it all in.
This is going to help a lot of people, Voss said.
And, put in Desh, make Dooku gnash his teeth when word gets out that we now have control of it.
Enough patting ourselves on the back, Kenobi said. Let's get to work.
Chapter 32.
Desh returned to the Jedi light cruiser to inform the clones that they could bring in the transports. Kenobi, Voss, and Anakin looked around and then at one another.
I hardly know where to begin, Anakin said.
Kenobi stroked his beard.
It is rather intimidating. Fortunately, it's not our task to catalog or distribute the items. All we have to do is assist the clones in getting the supplies onto the transports.
If I may, Voss said, I'll leave you two in charge of that. I'd like to have a look around.
I've got a hunch that there might be something more valuable here than food, a few blasters, and spare parts.
Something that Dooku might have stashed here for safekeeping?
Guess Skywalker.
Got it in one.
And you're the one to recognize something like that when you see it, Kenobi said, nodding in approval. All I have to say to that request is good hunting.
I'll find the end of all of this and work my way back. I'll let you know how deep the cavern extends.
I think you just want to get out of doing the grunt work,
Anakin grumbled.
You're giving all the right answers today, Anakin,
Voss grinned. Kenobi watched for a moment as the other master paused, then shrugged and picked a direction, vanishing through one of the narrow spaces between the tightly packed crates and equipment.
What now?
Anakin asked.
We move crates.
I was afraid you'd say that.
They set to work. Voss checked in after a few moments, letting them know that he was already about 1,000 meters in with no end yet in sight. Desh returned, followed by the 3 transports. Clone Commander Cody, Kenobi's clone marshal commander, jumped out of the first one.
This will be much less exciting than a battle, I fear, Commander,
Kenobi told the clone leader.
That's as may be, sir, but I reckon that we can do with less excitement if it means more lives saved,
Cody said.
Come on, boys, let's get to it. How far back does this stretch anyway, sir?
Master Voss reports the distance at nearly 1,000 meters, so far. Rex, the clone trooper captain who served under Skywalker, whistled.
We've got our work cut out for us, then.
We'll be able to help you with the heavier items, Kenobi said. He gestured to a deck cannon, then closed his eyes and settled himself, feeling for the essence of the weapon in the Force. When he found it, he visualized it rising, light as a feather, as air, as nothing at all. He extended his arms in front of him and raised them, palms up. When he opened his eyes, the cannon hovered in midair. Smiling softly, Kenobi moved his right hand, maneuvering the cannon to settle in the transport hold.
Well, sir,
Cody said,
looks like we can knock off and let you Jedi handle this.
Not quite, Desh said. Many hands make light work.
But Jedi hands make work light,
another clone trooper, Jesse, said, eliciting a groaning laugh from some of the other clones, even as he set to work with Cody to begin moving crates into the transport. Kenobi's comlink chirped.
Voss, what's your status? Find any...
Kenobi!
Voss's voice was taut with tension.
Get them in on the transports and get them out of here! The rest of you too, right now!
What's going on? Kenobi was calm, alert.
Bombs,
Voss replied.
They've rigged this whole place to blow.
Voss, Desh said. How many? Any chance we could disarm them?
Negative,
Voss said.
There are at least 6 of them, and they're all set to detonate in about 3 minutes. Go, now!
How is that possible?
Anakin asked.
They didn't know we were coming.
The droids must have set them before they attacked,
Kenobi said.
They probably thought they'd deal with whatever was out there and then disarm them upon their return.
And if they didn't return,
Desh said grimly,
the items wouldn't fall into enemy hands.
We can worry about the hows and whys later,
Voss said.
But right now, you need to get the hell off this asteroid.
At a nod from Kenobi, Cody started shouting to his men. They hurried back and jumped into the transports. The first one to close its doors lifted off and flew back down the tunnel to open space and safety.
All right. Two transports are on the way out, Kenobi said to Voss.
To Desh and Anakin, he said,
get in your interceptors.
But,
Desh began,
that is an order, Jedi Akar.
You too, Anakin.
Go.
The two cast a last worried look over their shoulders, then sprinted for their vessels. The final transport had lifted off and had disappeared down the tunnel toward open space.
You too, Kenobi,
came Voss's voice.
I'll just stretch my legs till you get here.
Damn it, Obi-Wan! You've only got about a minute!
Then you'd best hurry, hadn't you?
Obi-Wan!
Stop talking and focus on running.
Kenobi jumped into his interceptor, prepped it for immediate takeoff, and settled in to wait. The seconds ticked by. 50 seconds. 40. 35. The figure of Quinlan Vos hurtled over a pile of crates marked as ammunition. Relief surged through Kenobi. He touched the controls, and the ETA interceptor lifted off. Glancing back, he saw Vos's ship do the same.
22.
The Jedi took the curves of the tunnel at top speed. Kenobi reached out into the Force, sensing the walls and the path ahead, and leaning his body and his ship into them. He shot out of the tunnel with Vos barely a ship's length behind him. He did not slow, but kept going at top speed, putting as much distance between him and the asteroid before it. Kenobi squinted as a bright yellow-orange fireball rolled out of the tunnel, casting stark shadows through the cockpit viewport. When he could see clearly again, he realized that the asteroid was still intact, though obscured by black smoke billowing out from the entrance. While he was grateful that there had been no loss of life, the sight pained him nonetheless. All those supplies, food, weaponry, medical equipment, up quite literally in smoke. Well, perhaps not all.
Jedi Akkar, Kenobi said. I'd like for you to keep a single transport here and supervise the loading of any salvageable debris. Since the explosion didn't crack the asteroid, it's possible that much of it is still contained in the cavern.
Yes, Master Kenobi, Desh replied, though Obi-Wan detected a note of resignation in the Moran's voice. Let's hope there's something left of use.
Indeed. Vos, Anakin, let's head back to Coruscant.
Ventress sat at a bar in Pantora, swirling her glass. She had known from the minute she walked in that coming back here, to the same bar where she and Vos had embarked on their partnership, had been a bad idea. She could kick herself now for yielding to the impulse. Somehow, she'd talked herself into thinking that seeing the place again would strip it of the power it had over her and become just another bar. The opposite had been the case. But now that she was here, Ventress figured she could at least try to drown her pain in the thick, bitter liquid and then sleep it off somewhere. She tossed back the shot and gestured to the bartender for a refill. Then she stiffened. Surely it was just the memory that was making her think that...
Ventress?
She pressed her lips tightly together.
So now you're stalking me?
Vos slid into the seat in front of her. He looked more subdued than she had ever seen him. It wasn't a good look on him.
I came here for, I think, the same reason you did.
She laughed humorlessly.
To try to erase me from your memory?
No.
His voice was quiet, without the desperate pleading she'd heard from him before. He waited, as if expecting her to order him away again. But Ventress was too soul-weary of it all to fight with him.
Vos signaled to the bartender.
I'll have what she's having.
You won't like it,
Ventress assured him. The bartender plunked a glass and a bottle in front of him. Vos poured a shot and downed it.
Immediately, he began to cough. When you're right...
He wheezed, tears coming out of his eyes.
You're right.
His cough turned into a choking laugh. For an instant, Ventress caught a glimpse of the Vos she had grown to care for so deeply.
I'm always right, she said.
Why was she smiling into her glass?
Not always,
he said. Ventress froze, abruptly realizing that she was not sensing the dark side pouring off him anymore. Why?
I can't trust him,
she thought.
I can't trust this. No,
she said.
I was right about you, wasn't I?
She looked him dead in the eye, extending her feelings into the Force. There was still darkness in him, but it was different. It was... human. what she would expect from anyone who had been tortured emotionally and physically. What she would expect from someone whose heart was breaking.
Voss didn't answer at once. He frowned into the empty glass, turning it in his fingers. He didn't look at her when he answered.
Yes, you were.
She shoved the chair back and stood.
I'm done here.
Voss peered up at her.
Were.
And I suppose you're all better now?
No.
It was the truth. Ventress could tell. Voss continued.
When you came back for me, it was right after I'd held Tholm's lightsaber.
Right after you experienced me murdering him.
Ventress stated it bluntly.
He nodded. I was reeling. I'd been starved, beaten, deprived of sleep, injected with things that... Massage, you were my anchor. Thoughts of you, of us, kept me sane. But when I felt Tholm...
Voss couldn't bring himself to say the word.
After that, I thought that everything between us had been a lie. So yes, I let the dark side in. And that's what you saw in my eyes.
Voss again looked down into his glass. Slowly, Ventress resumed her seat and waited.
For a while, I admit it, I did help Dooku. But then I began to understand what it must have been like for you as his apprentice. The kind of lessons you were learning from him. He was trying to teach me those same lessons. But you decided you didn't want to be like him. And I wasn't angry at you anymore.
Just like that. You saw and felt me gut a man who had surrendered to me. The Jedi who was your beloved master. And then suddenly it's all right.
Voss shook his head.
No, not suddenly. But it did happen. It helped me shore up my resolve to not give in to the darkness anymore. I wanted what we had. What we were going to have. Together. We had a future.
Had being the operative word.
Her own anger and pain were returning.
We could still have it.
Ventress shook her head. She downed another shot of the bitter drink, letting it fuel her.
Impossible. Not after everything that's happened.
I forgave you for killing Tholm and for lying to me. And you will forgive me too. One day. Asajj Ventress.
He hesitated and took a breath.
That's what you do for the one you love.
He wasn't lying.
Ventress could feel it in the Force.
Quinlan Voss was truly in love with her. Joy and pain bombarded her simultaneously. For a moment, Ventress was so stunned, she couldn't respond.
Why had he said this now? When... love,
she said, having difficulty speaking the word.
Is not a part of your world anymore. You're back with the Jedi now. And they would never allow it.
Voss leaned forward. All the earnestness, the hope that had been absent just a few moments before returned in full force.
When you turned me away, I did go back to them, yes. I tried to be a Jedi again. I really did. But I don't belong there anymore.
Asajj, I belong with you.
Are you telling me that you're willing to leave the Order?
She had to hear it, explicitly to believe it. It had been one thing when they were alone together on Dathomir, to talk about leaving the Jedi. Voss's life with them had been so far away, and it would have been easy for the two of them to simply disappear. But he had been welcomed back with relief and, Ventress had to admit, affection. His gaze was locked with hers.
Yes, I am. There are a few more things I can do to help them destroy Dooku. I think I owe them that much. But once that's done, I'm yours. If you'll have me.
For answer, Ventress stretched out her hand. Voss took it in both of his, kissed it, and pressed it to his heart.
Chapter 33.
Master Voss,
said Yoda.
For your actions, grateful we are. Saved many lives you have.
Thank you, Master Yoda, Voss replied. But it was what any Jedi would have done. It's Jedi Akkar who deserves your thanks. He's the one who gets to sort through the mess.
Amusement rippled through the gathering. Kenobi noted that the tension was gone. The nearly imperceptible aura of mistrust that had filled the council chamber every time Quinlan Voss was present now seemed conspicuous in its absence.
The council believes that you are ready to once again fight against the Separatists, Windu said to Voss. Though that is not the primary purpose of this mission. Our intel indicates that Count Dooku has placed a listening station on Vancor.
Kenobi made a sour face. He and Anakin had once been stranded there while in pursuit of Dooku. Anakin had been unfortunate enough to have a second bad experience there when he and Windu had been trapped beneath the rubble of a crashed ship. Both events had involved the huge four-armed predators known as Gundarks, and Kenobi was none too keen to return. All eyes turned to the hologram of the brown, rocky world.
Vancor, mused Kenobi. Charming place. Delightful fauna. Did Dooku ever tell you anything about this station, Voss?
Voss frowned, thinking.
The Count kept his cards pretty close to his vest, he said. He never did trust me entirely. But I do recall something about a listening post in that sector. If you're confident on your intel, I'd say that this is the one Dooku was talking about.
Then Master Voss, Master Kenobi, your job is to take it out, said Windu. Depending on how key this site is, you may be met with a large welcoming party. Plan accordingly.
As Voss and Kenobi left the chamber, Anakin joined them.
Why do you always assume you're on the same mission we are?
Voss asked.
Because I always am, Anakin replied.
Sadly, there's no countering that argument, Voss said wryly.
Now that that's settled, Anakin continued, what's our mission?
To destroy a listening post, Voss said. We should be prepared to be fired upon.
Anakin looked at Kenobi, confused.
Our listening posts don't have a lot of defenses, he reminded them.
They rely on the fleet coming the second the all-clear signal stops being transmitted.
That's because we put lives on the line, Voss said. For us, the best allocation of resources works out to the fewest men at the station, with plenty of help on call in a real emergency.
Dooku has more than enough droids to have them provide adequate defense at all times.
Droids only? Kenobi inquired.
There will be a few people stationed there to supervise and make gut-check judgment calls, Voss said. But the defense will almost certainly be droids. We should be prepared for a good fight. I know I'm itching for one.
Sounds like everything is back to normal with you, Voss, Anakin said. I'm glad.
So am I, Anakin, Voss said.
So am I. Kenobi, Voss, and Anakin were in their interceptors when the Vigilants came out of hyperspace and the hangar doors opened. They, along with 24 of the heavily armed ARC-170 starfighters, the initial wave, launched at once, soaring out into space, ready for battle. There was not a single fighter present to offer resistance. As they descended toward Vancor and their target, they remained unchallenged.
Kinda quiet here, Anakin said over his comlink. You know, the peaceful silence of space, with nothing happening at all.
I agree, Kenobi said. Where was the defense Voss had warned about? Dooku's forces should have launched their attack immediately.
Do you suppose it's a trap?
Anakin asked.
Think they're waiting for us to penetrate the atmosphere and launch a ground attack?
That seems a very poor tactic if it's so, Kenobi said. But nevertheless, something's not right here.
Tapping the controls, he zoomed in on the planet's surface. Master Windu's intel was spot on about the listening post, however. He opened a channel to the attack cruiser,
Admiral Block, we're going to go ahead and descend. We're prepared to encounter resistance from the ground.
Of course, General Kenobi,
the Admiral said.
Do you wish the second wave to launch?
Yes, go ahead, Kenobi said. Better safe than sorry. He changed the comm channel to address his team. It's far too still for my liking. There may indeed be a trap. We go in expecting hostile fire.
That's more like it, said Anakin.
As usual, the boy was all on fire to be out in front and in the thick of the action. The Force, Kenobi mused, had to be protecting him. Otherwise, Anakin's impulsiveness would have gotten him killed 1,000 times over. Remember, Kenobi said, there's no room for rash decisions. Stay the course. That means you, Anakin. No fancy maneuvers. In response, Skywalker's ship suddenly dropped and executed a loop.
Sorry, Master Kenobi. You're breaking up. I think something might be wrong with my comm link.
Anakin!
Some say I'm reckless. Others would say I have guts. It's subjective.
Anakin, who clearly had nothing at all wrong with his comm link, said. It's really not. Voss laughed.
You two kids never change.
More elegantly than his former apprentice, Kenobi tilted the nose of his interceptor down. The surface rushed up to meet them. He glanced at his readout, then used his own eyes and the Force. Listening posts were precious things. The Republic had a fleet ready to defend them at a moment's notice, and, according to Voss, Dooku kept sufficient defense on sight. The design was similar to the Republic's. A simple station with a large tower to which a dish was affixed. Unlike Republic stations, which had a single, rather small landing pad, the area around this post was clearly designed to accommodate several vessels. Voss was right. There should have been at least a few dozen fighters to safeguard the post. And yet, it looked...
It's abandoned,
Voss said.
Not a single ship.
It does look that way, Kenobi said. But we should be cautious nonetheless. Let's try a strafing run and see if we can flush any hiding jackrabs. The three Jedi brought their vessels into formation. Anakin actually cooperated by taking his place on Kenobi's left and letting Obi-Wan have the lead. The clones fell in behind them in their ARC-170s. Obi-Wan, Voss, and Anakin all fired their laser cannon simultaneously. A fireball wrapped in black smoke plumed upward. The mammoth dish cracked and tumbled in pieces to the ground. The clones followed with a second attack. Blue laser fire screamed, and this time the tower itself crumbled beneath the assault. The group veered upward and came about for another pass.
Hold your fire, everyone, Kenobi said. Let's see what reaction we get.
They flew over again, but there was no movement on the ground. No ships, no vehicles, no people, not even droids. Nothing.
Scans indicate no life forms,
Anakin said, adding,
Well, none larger than a literal jackrab. Hey, no Gundarks this time. Master Kenobi, I'd like to go down there and see what we can find,
came Voss's voice.
We kind of just obliterated it with laser cannons, Voss,
said Anakin.
Not a whole lot left that would be of any use to us. Not to you,
Voss said.
But maybe I can get some answers.
A few moments later, they and the clones were on the ground.
Commander Cody, Obi-Wan ordered. Have your squadron break down into teams and do some scouting. This place looks empty, but it may not be.
Yes, sir,
Cody said. Over his shoulder, he shouted,
Come on, you lot! You heard the general!
He began giving instructions.
Well, said Kenobi, as Anakin pointed out, the tower itself is demolished at this point. Let's see if we can find some barracks that are still somewhat intact.
The three Jedi leapt easily over the major chunks of rubble blocking the path to the station's operations center and living quarters. As they stepped carefully amid the debris, Anakin said,
While I'm always pleased to not see bodies, I kinda miss the droid parts.
Voss picked up a small chunk of blasted console and closed his eyes. A few seconds later, he opened them, looking irritated.
This is useless, he said. It's all been too damaged. We need something more personal, and mostly intact.
I'm guessing the living quarters are located below ground, Kenobi said. He tapped his bracer to activate his comlink. Commander, have any of your squad members located another entrance?
Yes, sir. We did indeed.
Cody gave them the coordinates. The entrance was several meters from the tower, well hidden by the boulders that were a common feature in the area. A quick scan revealed that the structural integrity of the tunnels was still intact. The Jedi activated their lightsabers as a precaution against any possible remaining droids, illuminating the metal corridors with soft blue-green radiance. A series of doors lined the path. At each one, they cut their way in and peered about.
Storage, said Kenobi.
Most of the rooms were bare, save for the occasional small piece of equipment or an empty crate.
This place looks like it could have been abandoned for years.
No.
Voss bent over and picked up a curved piece of metal.
This is a repair part for a B-3. Whatever happened here, it's recent.
After a time, the path sloped upward, and they came to a sealed metal door. Kenobi cut through it, and the three Jedi emerged into an area that had 6 beds and very little else.
Well, Anakin said, I think this is the best we're going to find. Can you get anything off a bedpost, Voss?
I've got something better, Voss replied.
Grinning, he held up a comb.
Nothing too exciting, but it'll do.
He wrapped his fingers around the item, closed his eyes for a moment, then opened them.
That's it? Anakin asked.
That's it, Voss said. He looked annoyed. They bugged out about 2 weeks ago. Dooku wasn't about to take chances that I'd lead you here, and sent orders to abandon the post.
I don't suppose someone happened to mention where the new post would be located.
Voss shook his head.
I think anything useful went up with the tower. Important orders wouldn't be discussed in the barracks. I could try everything here if you'd like.
Kenobi clapped his friend on the back.
Don't worry, Voss. This was bound to happen.
Voss shook his head, still irritated.
Well, it means that pretty much any information I learned while I was with Dooku is now moot.
Hey, we've got you back,
Anakin said.
That's more important.
Kenobi rubbed his chin thoughtfully.
I wonder if that's all that's going on here.
What do you mean?
Voss asked.
Well, it does make sense that Dooku would change things up a bit. Anything you knew could be used against him. But it does seem strange that this has happened twice in a row. I can't help but wonder if we might have a leak.
Voss frowned.
A leak? You think there's someone feeding the Separatists information?
I wouldn't say that's too far out of the realm of possibility, Anakin said.
It's happened before, unfortunately.
Whatever it is, we'll deal with it back at the temple. Master Yoda will know what to do. It's certainly an unsettling thought, Kenobi said. We have to hope that this is simple coincidence.
Anything else you can get from the comb? He asked Voss.
Well, Voss replied, its owner used to flex in the mirror when he thought no one was watching.
Chapter 34.
Kenobi requested a private audience with the two people he could absolutely trust, Yoda and Mace Windu. He outlined the circumstances of both missions and put forth his concerns.
There's nothing that decisively points to a leak, he finished. It could be coincidence, or a simple and predictable result of Voss turning his back on Dooku.
Examine everything, we must,
Yoda said.
Correct to bring this to us, you were, Obi-Wan.
This doesn't feel right to me. I think there's more going on here than coincidence, he grimaced.
I think there's a chance that Voss isn't fully rehabilitated. I did express my concern that we might be putting him back in the field too quickly.
Voss? Kenobi exclaimed. With respect, Master Windu, I think you may be jumping to some rather unfounded conclusions. I've seen or felt nothing that indicated that, and I've known him well for years.
With respect, Master Kenobi, Windu snapped. It's precisely because you've known him so long that I worry your judgment is clouded by your friendship.
I saw firsthand what Dooku did to him, Kenobi said, bridling slightly. Don't you think I was alert for any signs?
Let's look at the facts. Nothing like this has happened for quite some time, until his very first mission directly against the Separatists, when suddenly a tremendous amount of valuable supplies blows up.
It's a logical thing for the Separatists to have done, Kenobi pointed out.
Saved your lives, Voss did with his warning. Escape in time, he himself almost did not.
Kenobi nodded his thanks to Yoda.
All that is true, Windu agreed. What is also true is that Voss was the one who very conveniently spotted the bombs. Today we attack a Separatist listening post to discover that it's been abandoned, and the only one who can tell us exactly why those orders were issued happens to be Quinlan Voss.
Come now, Mace, Kenobi protested. This is all a bit far-fetched and overly dramatic, don't you think? If Voss is indeed a traitor, why is he not leading us into ambushes? He could destroy thousands of the enemy at one go.
So obvious. A well-positioned traitor would not be,
Yoda said thoughtfully.
Too much attention it would draw.
Kenobi turned to Yoda, his heart sinking. You too, Master Yoda. We need proof.
We can't call a man a traitor just because we don't like what we're seeing.
Speaks the truth, Master Kenobi does. Evidence we must find.
Now I wish we had looked harder at the listening post debris, Kenobi said.
Why? Windu asked. If Voss is indeed a traitor, he will make sure that anything you find corroborates what he wants us to think.
Return to that site we could. But eyes we have on another one already.
The asteroid, said Kenobi. I've been checking in with Desh, but thus far he's reported nothing out of the ordinary. With some trepidation, he activated his holocom, and a small image of Desh appeared.
Master Kenobi!
Desh bowed slightly, adding hopefully,
I don't suppose you're reassigning me.
We need you right where you are, Desh, Kenobi said. I'm with Master Yoda and Master Windu in the council chamber. What I'm about to tell you must remain confidential.
Of course,
Desh replied, though his ears twitched in concern. It's possible, even likely, that we have a leak.
A leak? Not a Jedi?
Desh's ears flattened. A Jedi, Kenobi confirmed, adding, or another party who is privy to sensitive information. We're gathering evidence at the moment. Have you run across anything unusual in your sorting through the debris? Kenobi's heart sank at Desh's hesitation.
Well, sir, now that you mention it, there was something. We didn't think much of it at the time.
Kenobi looked at his fellow masters bleakly as he asked, What is it?
There were some Republic-made items among the debris. It's not unknown for Separatists to use whatever they can find, but we're pretty sure that the bombs were not Confederacy issue, which means they got their hands on some of ours.
Kenobi felt the blood draining from his face.
And you didn't see fit to report this? Snapped Windu.
Yoda lifted a calming hand.
My apologies, Master Windu. As I say, this happens in war. We do it too. A blaster's a blaster, and a bomb's a bomb, after all. One is the same as another.
Except when it isn't, Kenobi thought, sickened. Thank you, Desh. We'll be in touch.
So, Windu said, now we know. Voss planted those bombs.
We don't know anything yet, Kenobi retorted. If we're going to brand a man a traitor and destroy his life, it must hinge on what we can prove.
Correct, Master Kenobi is,
Yoda said solemnly.
Another line of inquiry I alone will pursue. But if proof we find, a painful task we will have before us.
When 2 days later, Obi-Wan received a summons to Yoda's private quarters, he steeled himself to not give in to either hope or despair. He mentally repeated the Jedi code to calm himself. There is no emotion, there is peace. There is no ignorance, there is knowledge. There is no passion, there is serenity. There is no chaos, there is harmony. There is no death, there is the Force. It helped. He was in control of his emotions by the time he reached Yoda's door and entered. Yoda was, as usual, seated by the fountain crafted of singing stones. The familiar scents of the heated oils teased Kenobi's nostrils as he sank down beside his old master.
You summoned me, Master Yoda? He asked quietly.
Is this regarding Quinlan?
Is there news?
Yoda had not been meditating, but he had been regarding the fountain's flow. Now he turned to Kenobi. He did not need to say anything further. The answer was in his wonderful warm eyes, now filled with sorrow and a deep compassion.
Oh, no,
Kenobi breathed. Gently, Yoda reached and placed a small hand on Kenobi's.
Voss saw I today. Acknowledged his aid through his unique skill, I did. Touched I his hand, through which flows the Force. Able at times, I am, to see that which is hidden. The Force was with me this day. The truth to me has been granted. Taken by the dark side, Quinlan Voss has been. Though conceal it well, he does.
Yoda hesitated.
Lost to us, I fear he is.
Kenobi sagged. She was right, he whispered, thinking of Ventress, of her grief and pain, of her determination to free Voss. How blind they had been, all of them, except for her. Asajj Ventress, she who had danced so long with the dark side, had been the only one to recognize it when it contaminated one Kenobi now believed she had truly loved. She was right all along.
Dull the senses, attachment does. But open the eyes, betrayal can.
Yoda continued, his voice still so very kind, so understanding.
Open now they are, and act we must.
A few moments later, an emergency meeting was quietly convened. Yoda, Mace Windu, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Plo Koon, and Ki-Adi Mundi, all the council members who were on site, assembled in the council chamber. Kenobi found himself too restless to sit. He chose to stand, looking out the vast windows as the business of Coruscant swirled past. Although he knew he must appear distracted, he listened intently to the conversation. Yoda went over everything they knew. How long Voss had been in Dooku's power. That Ventress had claimed he had fallen to the dark side. That Republic-crafted bombs, small enough to be hidden in the voluminous robes of a Jedi, and discovered by Voss, had destroyed the supply base on the asteroid. That a key listening outpost had been abandoned. And that the only information as to why was again discovered by Voss, in a way that only he could verify.
In his heart, darkness I found,
Yoda said sadly.
Deep, secret, powerful. The history of items does the Force permit Voss to understand. The history of a soul does the Force permit me to understand. Unacceptable in a court of law it is, but of lying No Jedi will accuse me.
The comment was so inarguably true that no one felt the need to voice agreement.
Taken with everything else, Yoda's statement painted a damning picture.
Meet now, we do, to discuss his punishment.
If he has been in communication with Dooku this entire time,
Ki-Adi Mundi said,
then we must assume that Dooku knows everything Vos does. And that is, unfortunately, a very great deal.
Kenobi closed his eyes briefly. There is no emotion.
This is by far the greatest breach of trust the Jedi have seen since Count Dooku himself betrayed us, Mace said. Even General Krell's deception did less damage. Vos isn't just a Jedi. He's a Jedi Master with unique skills. And he is a Jedi Master in wartime who has worked side by side with Dooku. This is going to have massive repercussions.
We all appreciate how serious this is, Master Windu, Kenobi said, a touch sharply.
Do you, Master Kenobi? For my part, I think we need to seriously entertain the possibility of execution.
What?
Kenobi turned to stare at him, aghast. Ki-Adi Mundi nodded.
I agree, he said, his voice solemn. Many lives will be lost because of what Quinlan Vos has done. Yet again, the Order has been shaken to its core at a time when we can ill afford anything but solidarity and faith in one another. We weathered a storm such as this poorly with the treachery of Baris Offee. None of us could have imagined such a seemingly ideal Padawan turning into a separatist terrorist. Now that it has happened again, it must be dealt with in the firmest manner possible.
Execution?
Utterly disbelieving, Kenobi looked from one face to the next, finding only cold resolution.
You can't be serious.
Can't we? Mace said flatly.
Kenobi turned to Yoda. In the Jedi Master's wrinkled face, Obi-Wan did not see the same merciless expression the others shared. Even so, Yoda was not dismissing the idea. He looked at Kenobi for a long moment before saying with reluctance,
Everything we must consider.
But this is madness, Kenobi protested. We are not Sith. We do not deal in absolutes, and few things are more absolute than death. An eye for an eye isn't our way. Nothing that Vos has done has cost lives.
That we know of. We still don't know what he was responsible for as Dooku's Admiral Enigma. But going forward, it will cost lives.
Windu was relentless.
Once Dooku realizes that we're on to Vos, he'll stop holding back. He'll exploit every bit of knowledge that traitor has given him. We'll be seeing more than our share of ambushes and destruction, Kenobi. And all of it can be placed at the feet of Quinlan Vos.
But don't you see? Kenobi pleaded. He's as much a victim as anyone. You know what Dooku did to him. The man was tortured, forced to the dark side. He can't be held completely responsible for what he's done.
Others have fought the sway of the Count, and won, Mace said. Even your friend Ventress.
What else would you suggest?
Plo Koon said.
Kenobi didn't know. He was so shocked by the turn of the discussion, it was hard to gather his thoughts. He took a deep breath.
We could banish him. Send him to the Outer Rim, maybe even beyond.
Even as he spoke the words, he realized how impossible such a solution was.
With all due respect, Master Kenobi,
Ki-Adi Mundi said, not unkindly,
we are dealing with a highly trained Jedi Master who has turned to the dark side. Because of his actions, albeit indirectly, thousands will die to appease his Sith Master's thirst for bloodshed. Coming back from such a dark place is difficult, even for the strongest of Jedi. He's too dangerous to be unleashed upon the galaxy.
Imprisoned, then,
Kenobi tried desperately.
He has fallen to the dark side, Mace said, as if trying to explain something to a youngling.
He will be looking to escape, and Dooku will be looking to get him back. How long do you think we could hold him?
Come on, Kenobi, think.
What if he's given the chance to turn on Dooku?
What do you mean? Windu asked. Kenobi worked it out as he spoke.
We sent him to kill Count Dooku. Perhaps if Boss sees the Count again and has a chance to assassinate him, he'll be able to resist the dark side.
He could redeem himself.
Come back from it. Isn't that what we really want? Or are we all just looking for sport?
That is untrue, and you know it, Master Kenobi,
chided Plo Koon.
I do, and I apologize, Obi-Wan said. But this is Voss's life we're talking about.
The three who had called for execution exchanged glances. Yoda's gaze was fixed on Kenobi, and Obi-Wan could tell he was pleased.
Go on, said Mace.
Voss is completely unaware that we know of his transition to the dark side, so we set a trap to test his allegiance. We'll send him after Dooku. If Voss sides with him, then we'll know.
I fail to see how giving Voss back to Dooku is a good thing, Mace said.
You misunderstand. We'll follow him and watch his every move.
Windu considered this.
You will stay close to him.
Absolutely.
Should Voss fail to execute Dooku, you will need to intervene. Do you understand, Master Kenobi?
Kenobi took a deep breath.
I believe I do, Master Windu.
Cloud your judgment. Your feelings must not,
Yoda said.
Do what you must. You will.
I shall. Thank you, Master Yoda. This test will allow us to see Voss's true colors. And, he added, his true heart.
Yoda nodded.
Reveal himself to us, Quinlan Voss will. And his own fate, he himself will decide.
Chapter 35.
They had taken to meeting in one of the popular floating parks that hovered above the surface of Coruscant. A little under 2,000 square kilometers, it boasted meadows, forests, and even an artificially created mountain and several lakes. Non-threatening wildlife had been brought in from various worlds, and the lakes were stocked with fish. When Voss had first suggested it, Ventress felt exposed. She was a creature of the dark skies of space, and the dim light of a cockpit, of shadowy alleyways and bars with out-of-the-way alcoves. Even on her homeworld of Dathomir, which was not crowded with beings, the Night Sisters had preferred the confines of the artificially lit cavern to the open. The two had been meeting nearly every day, as often as Voss could sneak away from the temple.
Think about it, he said once as they walked hand in hand on a trail beneath towering trees. This is what our new life could be like. Not having to hide who we are and how we feel.
He nodded pleasantly to a pair of Nautilins who passed them by, also holding hands.
Here, we're just like they are.
Ventress had thought the idea was like the park itself. A beautiful but imaginary escape, nothing more. But as time passed, she felt it shift to become her new reality. This could indeed, she realized, be who they were. Just two lovers. Nothing more, and assuredly nothing less. Voss was late today. It didn't bother her at first. He was nearly always late. And it was not unpleasant to sit on a bench by the lake with her face turned up to the sun and wait. But time crept past, and worry crept upon her. Had the Jedi discovered their plans to escape? Then Ventress sensed him behind her, his presence warm and strong and welcome. His hands came down on her shoulders, thumbs working to ease the knots, and she smiled as she leaned back. He kissed the top of her head, then jumped over the bench to sit beside her. Her pleasure abated as she saw the furrow on his forehead.
What's wrong?
You're not gonna believe it, he said.
Try me.
Voss draped an arm around her as he spoke.
and she leaned into him.
The Jedi, he said, have assigned me a new mission. Or rather, asked me to complete an old one.
Ventress stiffened and pulled back, her eyes searching his.
You're joking. They want you to try to kill Dooku? Again? Voss, you almost didn't make it out the last time.
I know, but I'm much stronger now.
Are you sure you're ready to confront him again?
He nodded firmly. I'm ready. I now know exactly what he'll try to do, and I'm prepared for it.
Voss tilted up her chin and kissed her softly, lingering for a moment before drawing back to smile at her.
You don't need to worry about me.
Ventress trailed her fingers over his face, tracing the yellow tattoo, the curve of his jaw. Alarm bells were going off inside her.
This wasn't a good idea. Leave the order. Let's get out of here, now.
Her voice was low and urgent. He laughed softly, his breath stirring her hair. Temptress, he growled playfully, then leaned back and sighed.
Ugh, I can't.
Why not?
Voss didn't answer right away. He took her right hand in his left, intertwining their fingers. The alarm bells clanged louder now, shrill and insistent, and Ventress's heartbeat quickened. Had he changed his mind about leaving the Jedi?
I didn't realize it until they assigned me this task, but Asajj, you and I, we're not free of Dooku. Not really. Not yet. And not ever, until he's dead.
I don't believe that, Ventress said. I don't care whether he lives or dies. I don't care about making him pay. Not anymore. I don't need it. The Jedi will get him, or they won't. But someone will. It doesn't have to be me. Or you, Quinlan. The only thing that matters to me now is being with you.
That's exactly why I have to do this, Voss said. How can we possibly find the life we want if we're always looking over our shoulders? That man casts a very long shadow.
Please.
The word came hard for Ventress, and he knew it. Surprise flickered over his face. He closed his eyes for a moment.
Asajj, he said. I have to. It's the only way I can find peace. You and I met because I had this task. Now I have a second chance to truly end the threat he poses. And that will give us our chance to be together.
Together.
Ventress remembered when Voss first quite literally leapt into her life, tackling Moragai on Pantora. How he had kept pushing for them to work together until she agreed. It was a word he loved to use, a word that always made him smile, just as he did now.
Then let's do it. I'm coming with you,
Ventress stated.
No, Voss said. Absolutely not. I'm not going to risk losing you. Not now.
But you expect me to simply sit by, wring my hands, and hope you come home in one piece? Not a chance.
Voss frowned and started to protest. Ventress wrapped her arms around his neck and kissed him deeply. She felt the tension in his body dissolve as he pulled her closer. She melted into the kiss, putting all the things she felt but couldn't say, not yet, into it. All too soon, Voss drew back. Both of them were trembling. Voss pressed his forehead to hers.
I should have known better than to think I could talk you into staying behind,
he whispered, smiling. Ventress chuckled warmly.
Yes, you should have.
Together?
Together.
Ventress had allowed herself to hope that she had seen the last of the Jedi Temple, so she was not at all pleased to be following Voss inside not just the temple, but to the Jedi Situation Room. Each of the temple's towers had one, Voss told her, and it filled an entire level. She stood next to Voss as they ascended the turbolift in silence, shifting uneasily. Even though she had been given a full pardon, she knew what she and Voss were planning, and she was on edge. When the blast doors opened to admit them, Ventress saw that the room was as imposing as Voss had intimated. The walls were covered with tactical displays, and in the center of the room, standing around a huge holotable, were several Jedi Masters. The expressions on their various faces ranged from Yoda's mild, surprised acceptance to Kenobi's confusion to everyone else's outrage. After the recent weeks of newfound connection, it was hard for Ventress to feign disinterest in Voss. He, however, seemed to have no such difficulty, perhaps because he had already been hiding their relationship from the Jedi on a daily basis.
"What is she doing here?" Mace Windu demanded. "This is a highly sensitive area, Master Voss."
"Master Windu," Voss said, "the Council asked me to research and prepare for my mission to assassinate Count Dooku. I consider Asajj Ventress the ultimate resource for that task, and I will remind the Council that it ordered me specifically to seek her out the first time."
His manner was calm, but his voice was strong.
"So we did," Ki-Adi-Mundi said, his voice laden with regret. "And she was indeed granted a full pardon."
"You should have cleared this with the Council first," Windu continued.
"With respect, I've learned something from young Skywalker," Voss said. "Sometimes it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission."
"Ventress," said Windu, giving her a withering glance. "May I inquire as to whether Voss asked you here solely as a resource, or did he invite you to tag along?"
Before Ventress could answer, Voss stepped in smoothly.
"Ventress and I came very close to achieving the goal last time," he said. "We've learned from the errors we made then.